Hello, everyone. This is Sir Kirkley Ambrose. Antigua and Barbuda is the place to be. The beach is just the beginning.
Welcome to The Beach is Just the Beginning, the official podcast of the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. Join travel author Peter Moore as he discovers the people and places that make Antigua and Barbuda the must-visit destination of the Caribbean.
Hi, welcome to the very first episode of The Beach is Just the Beginning. My name is Peter Moore. As a writer and a photographer, my travels have taken me to over 108 countries. But let me tell you, nothing compares to Antigua and Barbuda. The beaches are spectacular, of course, but it's the people and the pace of life that really get under your skin. It doesn't take long before the troubles of the world seem a million miles away. That's not to say nothing happens. It's a vibrant place with amazing people doing amazing things in music, food, the environment, and more. In this episode, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Antigua and Barbuda's independence. I drop in on Nelson's Dockyard, where the British Navy set up camp over 300 years ago and left a legacy that is still felt today. I talk to Antigua's most patriotic citizen to see how he celebrated the big day, and Nicole Arthur-Dennis from Nicole's Table explains why food plays such a big part in island celebrations. Finally, I get the lowdown on liming. What it is, how to do it, and where to do it. In Antigua and Barbuda, the beach really is just the beginning. Apart from the fantastic beaches, Nelson's Dockyard is probably the most famous attraction on Antigua. In the early 18th century, it was the only harbour large enough for safe naval repairs in the East Caribbean. And Horatio Nelson famously served here when he was sent to Antigua to enforce British laws in the colonies. It's one of the most complete Georgian naval bases you'll find anywhere, and in 2016 it was listed as UNESCO World Heritage Site. 2021 marks the 60th anniversary of the restoration of the dockyard, so we thought we'd have a chat with one of the young Antiguans charged with protecting their heritage and keeping them relevant and exciting for future generations. Her name is Desley Gardner, and she joins me today from her office right in the middle of the dockyards, looking out across the harbour towards the Pillars of Hercules. Hey Desley, how's it going?
Hi, thank you for having me. And I am looking straight at Port Charlotte and Port Berkeley right now. It's an amazing view. It's a beautiful day. The water is blue, the sky is blue, and the grass is green. It's a beautiful contrast.
Okay. I'll admit it. You have probably one of the best offices in the world, one of the best views anyway. But what else is it about Nelson's Dockyard that makes it so special?
I think what really makes it special is the relationship between the natural landscape and the development that has happened here through the maritime legacy. I think that the two components playing together just gives your eye something great to look at each time. On top of that is a well-built-in Georgian fortification that just molds itself into the landscape and is now officially a part of it for almost 300 years now. So the history and legacy of the use of the space is what I think really makes it special, from the repairs of frigates right down to mega yachts. You just see the journey of the space and you're just in awe of the natural beauty that is mixed in with the human elements.
Do you have a favorite part of the dockyard?
Yes, I do. My favorite part of the dockyard is just coming off from the sundial and you walk down past the capstans, and we just have a few boxes here that normally give electricity and power to the mega yachts. You can literally sit on that box and look across to Commissioner's Bay and you have a great view of Clarence House. That's my favorite view in the dockyard, especially when it's a nice blue sky day. The water is nice and cool and calm. The breeze is just perfect, blowing nice and gently against your skin. And you're just looking across at the beautiful Georgian architecture. That's my favorite part. I could just get lost in that for days.
Is there any other part of the dockyards a visitor should absolutely check out?
Oh, there's so many things. You can definitely come down to the dockyard itself and explore the Georgian buildings that we have here. beautiful architecture, wonderfully restored and stabilized using traditional methods. And we have a wonderful museum that is exhibiting artifacts we found within the dockyard and around the neighboring sites. But also you can expand your journey across the park because we have 15 kilometers of hiking trails, and each hike is different. Each hike takes you along the architectural ruins and sites, as well as archaeological sites. Some of these trails lead you to some of the most beautiful beaches or geological rock formations with mermaid gardens, which has become a hotspot along the Carpenter Rock Trail, where you get these beautiful volcanically created pools of salt water, and you get your little individual pool bath along your hiking trails.
I believe you've been involved in an exciting new exhibition called the 8th of March Project that actually saw you go to the National Archives in London to do research. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Our project surrounding the King's Negroes is officially called the 8th of March Project. And that surrounds an event that happened in 1744 on the 8th of March, which was an explosion through the dockyard. There was a tent storing gunpowder that ignited, and that explosion killed 8 enslaved African men. Now, these were actually the first recorded names of African laborers in the dockyard that we have ever found. So after finding this information, we were enthusiastic about what more could we find about the African laborers within the dockyard and what was their role. So we decided to take a trip, myself and Dr. Waters, to the National Archives in Kew, London, and we were able to access the muster books from about the 1740s right down to the 1880s. And these had hundreds of names of African laborers. We reach about 700 names now since we started in 2020. And these names are recorded under given names and names that may have been their African traditional names. Also, their ages were recorded, their skills, their ability to read and write, if they had an owner, if they were free, or if they were leased from a plantation. So it really gives you an understanding of the complexity of the workers, especially the African workers here, because not only were they enslaved, but some of them were actually free and living as free men and were able to act on their own agency within the dockyard. Sailmakers, architects, carpenters, joiners, sawyers, they really had the skills and were able to still practice their own traditional practices in their own space.
When I visited, you showed me the exhibition, and one of the really interesting things to me about it was people have been able to trace their lineage back to these people, and that some of them are still doing the trade that their ancestors were doing all those years ago.
Yes, and that is what makes the project so exciting, the continuity of the space, understanding that their African ancestors passed on these traditions to the descendants who are still living in the community of English Harbour, Falmouth Village, Liberton, All Saints. And they're still coming back to the dockyard now in modern day and being sailmakers, riggers, joiners, carpenters, still skills that are high on demand for the mega yachts as they were on demand for the frigates of the British Navy. Seeing the names of your forefathers being listed and seeing that you are continuing a legacy of talent and skill, it's really exciting, especially since this year we're going on 60 years. We really want to make a stronger connection with the community.
Are there any special events planned?
Yes, we have quite a number of special events planned. This year we're operating under the theme Carved into History, Anchored by Community. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, we're not having any open events, but we're doing a lot of virtual events. We're highlighting a number of community anchors or persons of real significance in the community via our Facebook page. We're also employing persons to share their stories on social media so they could send in a nice fun video telling us about an experience they had or a previous visit they had to the dockyard and a memory they really want to share with us, especially throughout the 60 years that we've been in existence as a heritage tourism site. We'll relaunch the 8th of March art exhibit, which was a collaboration with the Antigua State College. And then we're also launching special Clarence House tours. They're going to be 30 EC at a special price for all locals, where you can come and tour Clarence House. You'll get an exclusive tour every Sunday starting from 2 p.m. We just want the community to really enjoy and experience the space.
A big thanks to Desley there. It's incredible to think that these maritime skills have been passed down through the generations and are still being used today. Don't forget to check out the Dockyards website at nationalparksantigua.com and their Facebook page for events around their celebrations. Now, anyone who has been to any kind of event in Antigua will have seen Hill St. Joseph. Whether it's carnival or cricket, he's the guy absolutely covered in the national flag. The locals simply call him Flagman, and he's probably the most patriotic person in Antigua. I got the chance to chat with him just moments after the Independence Parade, where, from all accounts, he cut his usual striking figure. Hi, Hilson. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you, sir.
When did you first start becoming Flagman? What was the first thing that you went along to complete with the flag and cheering and carrying on?
Okay, put it this way. I'm a carnival lover. Doing carnival thing, I go with my flag because my flag is the power of the land. Raise the standard, raise it boldly.
If someone comes to Antigua and Barbuda, what are the things they should do to really experience the country that you love?
We can go to the beach, go to the restaurant, have fungi and swordfish. We can go to look out and see the different sides in Antigua.
Where's the best place to go just to hang out and meet the locals?
Well, mostly in St. John's Town, the bars and stuff like that. There are different bars in town. You go have a drink and have a chit-chat.
Now, what would you say are the events in Antigua that you shouldn't miss? The ones that you'll be there with your flag on, cheering away?
Well, my biggest event is leading the parade of Carnival. I love doing that, man. I love to lead with the flag. Show the power of Antigua and Barbuda to the world. But we are loving people, and we are caring people, and we welcome anyone out to our country.
Independence Day seems to be a big day for you as well.
As always, Independence Day, I always dress up and go to the Antigua, and go to the stadium where they have the parade, the Independence Parade. When everything is over, I take up the way from behind and go up like the other military people and give my salute.
Does the uniform mean anything, or is it just a white uniform that you've created yourself?
My creation.
Well, I've got to say, it's a pretty smooth-looking creation. You look fantastic in it, especially with the cap and the shades.
I love doing it.
So if anyone spots you at any event, just to come up, say hello to you, and you'll set them straight on the best things to see and do.
That's true. King Flagman, the only one in Antigua and Barbuda, to the world.
What a character. If you spot Hilson when you're in Antigua, make sure you go and say hi. Of course, not everyone in Antigua and Barbuda celebrate Independence Day by draping themselves in a flag. Most celebrate with family and friends and food. I spoke to Nicole Arthur and Dennis from Nicole's Table to find out what makes a great Independence Day meal and how to make the perfect rum punch. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good, good. Now, I just thought I'd ask, is there a particular way that locals celebrate Independence Day with regards to food and drink and that sort of thing?
Antiguans enjoy going out on the road. There's always local vendors, and everyone has their favorite vendor. And depending on where you go, there's conch water, lobster on the grill, and different things like goat water and saltfish and fungi.
So basically, they're just driving along either to go and see family or go and have a celebration somewhere, and there's all these grills on the side of the road, and you just pull up, you've got your favourite, and you've got your favourite dish, and that's basically how it works.
Yes.
Now, I heard something in there, goat water. That sounds quite interesting. What is that, actually?
It has its roots in Irish stew, and it's from goat meat, and it's more of a soup than a stew. There's a lot more liquid, and it's usually a long, drawn-out process.
Okay.
It's always had in a community because it's a huge pot that's done, and everybody comes together. It's usually a family or a celebration dish that's served, yes.
Would you be able to say there's a national dish for Antigua?
The national dish for Antigua is saltfish and fungi. The saltfish is salted cod that's rehydrated. prepared similar to bacalao after it's reconstituted or rehydrated. It's mixed in with sautéed peppers and onions and tomato. It's a really great meal and served over funji, which is similar to polenta, but we make it thicker and it's usually put in a mold.
What's the base ingredient then? A kind of a maize, is it?
It's made out of corn, from cornmeal. The stock that they use is usually has an okra base. So it's seasoned water with okra, and then you boil it with the cornmeal. Everybody has a fungi stick in their house, which would be similar to like in New Orleans where they have the rue stick, because you sit there and you have to have a very strong arm because it takes a while of just like long stirring and bringing it in.
So you get your fungi stick and you're just turning and turning and turning until it's the right consistency.
Correct, yes.
And then you put them into molds?
Yes, you use a bowl. Like usually people get a small bowl and put a little bit of oil in it and then put the cornmeal in and you kind of jostle it until it's nice and smooth and looks like a well-shaped dumpling, and they put it on the plate and then pour the saltfish over it.
And what about the saltfish part of it? Obviously, you need to get the cod that's been dried out. Is there particular herbs and spices that are popular?
For our peppers, we use seasoning peppers, which are little small peppers. They kind of look like a Scotch bonnet pepper. They have the scent and the flavor of a hot pepper, but they're not hot. So you caramelize your onions and your peppers, add some thyme. And depending on which side of the fence you're on, some people prefer to use fresh tomatoes, and then you fold in the fish, and that's more of a South version. And then on the other side, some people prefer to use ketchup, which then makes it a little bit sweeter.
Okay.
It's not really runny like a stew, but it's really nice.
And the perfect consistency, obviously, to pick up with the fungi.
Yes, yes.
That sounds really delicious. And of course, we've got to ask, what is the perfect drink to have along with the national dish?
Well, we're in rum country, so rum punch.
Of course.
Everybody has their own version of rum punch. I prefer to do the old-fashioned rum punch. It's equal measurements. There's a rhyme. It's one of sour, two of sweet, three of strong, and four of weak. And so that's lime juice, sugar, rum, and water. And just mix it up. You can garnish it with a little bit of bitters and a dash of nutmeg and an umbrella.
Of course.
And there you have a perfect rum punch.
Sounds like the perfect dish for Independence Day.
Oh, very much so.
Now, while I've got you on the line, I wanted to have a chat to you about Nicole's Table, because for people who are traveling to Antigua, you offer these fantastic cooking courses with Caribbean cooking.
It's to introduce people to our local and regional foods. I guess people are always intimidated by the kitchen, and it's just a fun way to get together in a local home with a few people and just cook and sit down and eat family style. So I think it's a nice experience. I enjoy meeting people, and food is a great way for people to come together.
One of the great things about traveling is discovering new things, sights, sounds, tastes, and for me, words and phrases. Now, English is the official language of Antigua and Barbuda, but on top of that is a rich vernacular that is colourful, evocative, and for first-timers, a bit baffling. So I thought it would be fun to have a regular feature on the podcast that would look at a different phrase each episode, find out what it means, and learn how to use it in a sentence. And to help me, I've enlisted Marisha from the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. Hey, Marisha, how are you?
I'm fine.
Now, when I've been in Antigua, you've been a great help to me with all things vernacular. I remember on my first trip, you warned me about singing along to that song, Sock It Already. And on my last trip, I remember sitting in Beach Limers with you, getting educated about the latest phrases and how to use them. Which kind of brings me to the first phrase that I wanted to talk about tonight, and that's liming. How popular is that as a phrase in Antigua?
It's very, very popular. It has the same meaning as loitering.
I was just about to ask, what does it actually mean? So it's loitering. Yeah, okay.
So when we lime, we loiter.
But I'm imagining it's not loitering on a street corner or, you know.
No, we're liming.
What does actually loitering mean in Antigua?
Loitering or liming.
Well, liming means loitering. So obviously it means what? Like just hanging out, does it?
Yes. In public spaces, it's, you know, prohibited to lime in front of a building. But if you go hang out on the beach with your friends or you go to a bar, it's liming. And, you know, that's quite acceptable.
So how would you use it in a sentence? Would you ring up a friend and say, hey, let's go liming?
Not necessarily, but you would ask them, what are we doing today? Like, what a lime? What a lime for tomorrow? Like, tomorrow is Friday. So I call a friend and I'll say, hey, what a lime for tomorrow?
So basically, what are we doing tomorrow or where are we going to meet?
Yes. What are we doing tomorrow?
So, for example, a visitor to Antigua, how could they use it in a sentence, do you think, and not be laughed at?
Let's say, you know, they're in a taxi, they're headed to the hotel, they just got in, you know, they're coming from the airport. They could just ask a taxi driver, so what's the popular liming spot here in Antigua, you know? And he would understand, he would get it, like, what's the popular places to hang out or, you know, get a drink. He would get it and he would give them some suggestions because he'll know.
And obviously he'll think these guys know what they're talking about. They're using the vernacular.
They know what they're talking about. And he's like, are they really locals or are they visitors, you know? Give them that suspense about you, yeah.
He's more likely then to tell you about places that are a little more local, I'm guessing.
That are a little more local that they wouldn't normally tell a guest about because you know the word lime.
So if you know the word lime, you're up for anything that Antigua can throw at you.
Yeah, you're up for something that's a bit more chilled. They will take you to spots where you would have, it's not so touristy, but you would have a local vibe, you know, have a local, the hot spots, the liming spots.
So what are some of the liming hot spots at the moment?
Beach limers, you know, because we're limers. When you lime, you're a limer. So beach limers is a great spot, you know, good food, great drinks, excellent ambience. And that's down by the Fort James area, you know, beachside. You can head out to English Harbor and you have other little restaurants out there like Trappers or Cloggies, one of those flatties, one of those restaurants where you could just chill with your friends, you know, have a good lime. Sunday afternoons into the evening, you could go up to Shirley Heights and lime with your friends, you know, you and your friends chill, you know, kick back and have a nice drink, barbecue, great sunset view. Like, but Antigua in general is a lime. So like anywhere you go, anything you do, you don't even have to go to a specific place. You could just go to a store, get a few beers, chill on the beach, and that's the lime.
Well, that's it for this episode. A big thank you to all our guests. Desley from Nelson's Dockyard. Hilson the Flagman. He's WhatsApped me some photos from the parade, so I'm going to have to post them somewhere for you guys to see. And of course, Nicole from Nicole's Tables. If you're heading to Antigua and you want to book onto one of her fabulous cooking classes, head over to her website at nicolestable.com. In our next episode, we'll be looking at how Antiguans and Barbudans celebrate Christmas. They always have a white Christmas, of course, but that's more about the sand than the snow. But how else do they celebrate the festive season? And how can we join in? Tune in and find out. Finally, I want to leave you with an interesting fact about Antigua and Barbuda. Did you know that Antigua used to be called Wadadli? It's an Arawak term that means our own. The Arawaks inhabited the islands well before Christopher Columbus showed up. And now it's the name of the local beer. And it's not a bad drop either. Until next time.
The Beach is Just the Beginning is produced and presented by Peter Moore for the Antiguan Barbuda Tourism Authority. For more information and inspiration about visiting Antigua and Barbuda, drop by visitantiguabarbuda.com.